And welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm your host, Jared Griffin. National Hispanic Heritage Month takes place this year from September 15th to October 15th, and Kodiak has a lot to celebrate, with Hispanics comprising nearly 10% of the island's population, and nationwide, Hispanics make up about 25% of the population. So, to help us talk about the significance of Kodiak's Hispanic heritage, I am joined at the KMXT's studios by a member of ALMA, that is the Association of Latin Women in Alaska, Nancy Castro. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
And what is your official title with ALMA?
Currently, I am the treasurer for ALMA, but I have been the president, vice president, secretary, coordinator, and the latest has been the treasurer.
All of it.
All of it, yes.
Well, so let's start off with the organization that you're here representing today. So what is ALMA? How did it get started? What is its purpose?
Okay. So ALMA means soul, and that's very important to know. It's the acronym for the Association of Latin of Women in Alaska. ALMA was grounded in culturally specific practices and services focused on empowerment, education, self-esteem, and creating opportunities for the Hispanic and Latin community in Kodiak. And ALMA's mission is to support self-enrichment of the Hispanic Latin community in Kodiak through, again, education, economic development, and promotion of family and cultural values. We are definitely a diverse group of individuals that we come together to provide our life's strength and to our families and to participate in the broader community. So just to tell you a little bit about how we started,
yes.
I have to kind of go back in time because it's been a long time. All of this started in 2002 with Father.
So this is like the 20th anniversary of...
You know, I was thinking we should have celebrated.
Yeah.
You know, with COVID and everything, it just kind of lost track of things.
Sure.
So having the opportunity to come to the show, it really helped me kind of go back in time and kind of evaluate what we have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good for me to go back in, you know, memory line.
Right.
So Father Fred was our priest in our St. Mary's Catholic Church, and he has been a very important part in our community. He promotes immigrants, and he loves having the community to grow on their own. So he invited back in 2002, I think, someone called, I was trying to remember. So Ida, I think she was a theologist who was a supporter of women, and I think she was from Cuba. So she was invited to our church, and she talked about the power of women. I think she did a great job because she encourages all us women to combine our skills and abilities that we'll provide it from all different nationalities or countries, and to bring our potentials and put them to work to teach each other our own skills. So Father Fred, seeing that we were very motivated about it and being a strong supporter, as I mentioned, to community immigrants here, he asked Sister Barbara and Sister Carol back then, the great nuns, they were the last mm-hmm. nuns that were at St. Mary's, to be the facilitators and creating something for ourselves. And it became a very unique organization that is called ALMA. So it was founded in 2002, and it was with Rasmussen's Foundation funding and other organization back then. It was built, the Marian Center back mm-hmm. then was built on the St. Mary's grounds
mm-hmm.
because that was kind of the place where we have to create this new facility to be able to support to support our events and activities that we were going to create. Going a little bit more with our past programs and our current programs, I will talk about it a little bit later and mm-hmm. why they're important. So in the past, ALMA has offered community cultural events like personal finance workshops, parent night with college financial aid information, summer programs activities. We had cooking, do-it-yourself classes, hosted. We hosted family dances. We took workshops on how to start a business. We paired with the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science. Everything was done all in Spanish, so some things had to be translated, and I was part of the initiation of learning better English and helping my community, which was great. Eventually, we integrated the economic development for Alma by building the food booth that participated at the Craft Fest back in the time. Mm-hmm. And the entire group volunteered proudly and by connecting their skills and the food culture to the entire community. That was a connection from, you know, personal cultural to share with the community back then. We had pupusas and tamales, and it was very popular, but that was a lot of work. But it was wonderful yes. work to do with all these women feeling so proud and happy to be able to provide this to the entire community to be known, you know. I think we made a good impression in our group that it was this was good because we were growing and we apparently needed more of a coordinator, someone to be in charge to be able to plan for us all of this. So eventually we were able to get money from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development for 3 years. This grant paid my coordinator position during those 3 years. And this organization does help people who are doing exactly what we're doing. So it was perfect. So then we continue our classes and activities for women, for the children, and eventually the entire family. And it was open to the community, many of those events that we had.
Yeah, I was about to ask that. So this is it initially started out as an organization for Hispanic women, but you're saying that the programs really are benefit, well, I mean, the entire Kodiak community, but specifically also the Hispanic community too. So was that a change in a deliberate change in the direction of the organization, or?
Well, it was focusing or aimed to Hispanic women, but eventually was to promote the family, incorporate the family, to benefit the family and the cultural mm-hmm. values, all integrated in the community. So with the progress of our classes and everything, we saw the families come together. So their children and their partners or spouses, they came and joined us. And then other members in our community wanted to join that weren't even Hispanic or Latino, but they wanted to be part of it. Mm-hmm. So that's why we integrated our services to the community. But it all started with and for women. So that was kind of that was our goal, but it was nice to be able to expand rapidly. So at the time, well, the grant only lasted for 3 years, but we continued doing all kinds of work because we were already in, and it was hard to get out. But eventually, not having the money, it was a little bit complicated. So I was working full-time, and then the sisters left. That was around 2010,
right.
And they were a great support to our group. The membership kind of declined. You know, it was important to have a coordinator. That was kind of the key for our group. So being working full-time and not having the coordinator, we decided to not give up. We decided to focus on fewer but more impactful programs that currently continue to serve the future generations. Like, for example, we have the Summer Youth Internship Program currently, and we also have the Alma Scholarship, which is available for high school and continuing students. And this is available every fall and spring. So this is something we currently provide. Also, the way to have the funding to support the programs, we're happy to be invited to be catering the Fish Taco Night that is hosted at the brewery for the initiation of or celebration of Cunfish. Kind of about the same time, 2014-15. And we were able to use that as an event for us, as a something for us to the community, mm-hmm. but at the same time to get the funding we needed to keep promoting and funding our two more strong programs that we currently have, the summer program and the scholarship. So we had funding was limited, but we will distribute it well among the two programs. So that's a little bit of our past and current programs that we have at the moment. And I think they're very important because they have proved to improvise and to give value and to grow the community to even better. And I feel like I'm one of them, too, as well.
And what I didn't realize was how much, at least at the beginning and the inception of it all, and at least it sounds like for maybe the first 8 or 10 years, how important the Catholic Church was in supporting Alma.
It was, yes, it was also, as it was a great support from the Catholic Church to do this, which they kind of were the backbones that supported it. It was also, it wasn't taken as well for so many members that have a different faith, religious in our community. They were taking it as we were trying to convert them. We were trying to change them because almost everything was done with the presence of the sisters, mm-hmm. which were supportive to everyone in the community, in general, in particular the Hispanic community, but also our facility, the Marian Center, was there right behind the St. Mary's Church. Mm-hmm. And when we needed a bigger place, we had the school. And so that prompted people to think that we were a religious based. It was our wrong for not being able to clarify that, which we talk about it, but we never actually kind of did something, which I feel like that will be now the base too for us moving forward, mm-hmm. because it has to be clear that we are here for the women and for the community. So that was one thing I wanted to touch point on that too.
Yeah. So let's hear a little bit about you. And I've known you for many years, so I know a little bit of your story. But you know, it's an election year, and anytime there's an election year, Hispanic immigration usually becomes kind of a big topic. I have some statistics here that I'm not going to quiz you on. Don't worry. This is just for context. Okay. But about 25% of immigrants to the United States in the year 2020 came from Mexico. And another 25% of all the immigrants that came to the United States in 2020 came from other countries of Hispanic origin. And as we know currently now, what is we know of most of the Western United States was controlled by Mexico before the Mexican-American War in the 1840s. So there's that. And then, of course, nearly every American has an immigration story. So what can you tell us about your family's story?
Oh, it could be a long story. We can have a whole separate show. Hopefully, I talked about this story so many times, mm-hmm. I can summarize some of it. We moved to from Mexico to Kodiak for the first time ever in December of 1999. There was 16 of us in our family. Some of us were already married and have children, and so we all moved at the same time. Our main goal to come to Kodiak was to work, to learn the language, and to be a respectful resident, and to work even more. The reason for that is because the crisis in Mexico was so terrible back then that we were losing everything, and we were at risk of being on the streets, per se. We were offered the opportunity. We had that opportunity of being able to fix our papers, per se, you know, to be able to come, mm-hmm. all of us together. It took about 2 years. And as my mom called it, it was a miracle, which is kind of another part of our heritage, to, you know, in our faith base, that we would all be able to come in with documents. And it was a struggle. It was difficult. But the main cause was just the economy was terrible. And we were losing more than we could ever afford, and we were a big family, but having that opportunity, we were able to take that. So our story is a little different than so many of the, you know, immigrants who come in trying to escape from their countries and safety and things like that. So being able to be into Kodiak for us, it was kind of a climate, culture, language shocked for us, mm-hmm. at the beginning, because we have no English base of any kind, and we only knew about the United States from movies that we watched. And even then, we didn't know how, you know, it was real. We really immediately loved Kodiak because it was a small town. And that's how we grew up and were raised, in a small town. We were also welcome into the community from the community and our church members. And we were supported in so many ways until we settled in. And we all did what we best could do when it comes in terms of working, which it comes natural to us. And sometimes we get stereotype based on, you know, daycare, babysitting, cleaning, construction. But it all came natural to us. And all we care was to work and do our best we could here. But part of our heritage as well is the respect we have for our jobs, the passion. We do care for our employers and our coworkers, and we offer the best excellent work ethic that we can have. And that's what we bring is in our heritage for many of us. I didn't have much in my future looking back. I was more destined to be a homemaker, have families, raise kids, mm-hmm. and that was it. You know, and coming to Kodiak was another very shocked moment for me, knowing that I have more opportunities, and I embrace it with all my heart. It was so wonderful, like having so many, especially women-based, background and history and everything they created as women. It was like powerful. That was empowerment I was getting from there too at the time, and being part of ALMA gave me that even more support for me. So. All of us took our different routes, and we all learned the language. We all incorporated in the community, trying to work and do the best we could in education. You know, that was a big thing for us. Mm-hmm. Many in my life believe, just talking about myself, my family included, but the community believe in me, things that I didn't even believe in me because that's not how I was raised, you know, to do more things in my life. So, being grateful as I am and we are, I was able to get back to school because people believe I could do more. And being part of ALMA, I thought they believe in me. I am loving it. Why I not get the education I need to be able to provide more, give more back? So I did. So I started with my GED in 2008, and I then immediately joined the college because I realized I could do it. I actually have the potential to do it. But more importantly, people believe in me and have the support in the back of my, you know, all the time. I have those big, strong pillars that were my mentors, mm-hmm. and they were all women. Mainly, they were women. And so I thought if I trust them and I love them, if they believe in me, I have to believe in myself. So I was doing that. So I continued taking college classes, and then I graduated in 2012 with my Associate of Arts in Accounting and Business, which I was really proud, but I still could not believe it. Well, lucky for me, I was hired at the college, and I worked there, and I thought that was the best way for me to return everything that I have received from their support. But at the same time, I thought I can learn more from it and give it to my community, my Hispanic and Latino community, and our community in general. And I actually did. I kept myself involved in the community abroad, like mm-hmm. everywhere, as much as I could. It so gave me more options to learn even more, to improve my life, and to be able to share that with the ones who need it. So I continue with ALMA, even on a lower scale, because I was not full-time working and hourly involved in
so many
things.
Yeah, it's hard.
It was hard. Yes.
It's hard being a full-time student and keeping up with everything else.
Yes. So it was important for me to be, per se, a role model for them, because I heard from people saying, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you to do this. And I was thinking, if they feel that way for me, I don't want to, I want them to feel proud, and I want to show them that they can too. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring that into their children, their generation, because I saw that as well. And so we all, our children grew up to be, and I can't believe now they're, many of them have their children. And like, if I can go back in time, I would have put more and more effort thinking about it. But I don't think it's ever too late. I think I have, like I said, all this have given me the opportunity to review and analyze mm-hmm. everything. And
here's there's a little plug for Kodiak College in there.
There is a Kodiak College. You always have to always use your local resources. Mm-hmm. Why go outside when you have them inside? I mean, you have them here. They're so close. So we, as a group, ALMA wants to be that kind of the rock for you, or the bridge mm-hmm. that, you know, that brings and close that gap into the Hispanic Latino community and our community abroad.
That's a great metaphor.
Okay, great. Got a good one. So I've seen how we all have, many of us have benefited in different ways and at different levels. And I see that many of us Hispanics, especially because we have many who are moving, coming in and leaving, mm-hmm. Don't know a connection, don't mm-hmm. know who to reach out to. They feel outsiders
right.
too, even though they're trying to do their best. Sometimes they have limitations with so many.
Even in a community as small and connected as ours, it's remarkable how quickly somebody can feel that they're not connected.
As small and supportive as it is, yes, it's impressive. I still, to this day, keep meeting people who have actually lived in Kodiak for longer than I have, and I've never met them. I didn't even know they lived there. So I just think if I don't see them at church or we go to the store at the same time, I'm never going to know them, because there's nothing else that is presence in Kodiak that will be a connection to the Hispanic and Latino community. For those that come in, that can find that, make that link, that connection, that you know, have that resource. And that's why I would like for Alma to continue, and hopefully in the future be able to get myself back into and merge into more of the support with more of the experience that I have, hopefully in our future events.
So in Kodiak, I think it's pretty pretty well known that the overall population of the island has been decreasing over the past 20 years. But the Hispanic population has actually grown over that same time. In the year 2000, Hispanics represented about 6% of the island population. And then I guess your family moved in, and now they represent almost 10% of the island's population. And in the city of Kodiak alone, Hispanics have grown to over 10% of the city's population. And as of 2019, Hispanics are now the third largest racial group in the city of Kodiak. Asian Americans are number one, and whites are number two, and then followed by the Hispanic population. So so as the Hispanic population is growing, how important do you feel that Hispanic heritage is to Kodiak?
I think it's very important. And actually, that was a question I had in mind yesterday. And I was like, I don't know exactly how to phrase that. I feel like I want to ask every single one who's here how they feel, what that means to you. Everyone comes in different stages and struggles different ways, and they have a different outcome. And so I was thinking, well, if I'm going to be given a general answer to that, that it's important to me, I will say that it's basically a combination of both worlds. We're coming from our country into this new country in our town, and we're bringing our heritage that we honor, that includes the history and the culture that influences our past generations and our future generations. And as we moved into this town, we're bringing the best we have from our culture to incorporate into this one, so we can create, like I said, the best of both worlds. So it also means being appreciative of the sacrifices our parents made when they moved their whole family to provide or give us access for a better opportunity.
It's not easy.
It's not, no. And I experienced that myself. And so being a parent, I realized how hard it was for my parents. So I tried to understand so many ways. And I have to also adapt my already founded culture and roots into a new culture with my new children. And it was a challenge, especially for my kids, because even though my older daughter was already born in Mexico, she was 3 when I moved here, I have my other children here. But for them, everything they knew and existed was in Kodiak. To them, Kodiak is home. So only when I went back to visit Mexico, I can share some of our culture. And it was a little bit difficult because I was always busy, so it was not always easier to continue that here in Kodiak. But we also wanted to adapt as soon as possible because it was the best way for us to be better in our new community, our new home. So I think that it's very important, our culture and our Hispanic heritage here in Kodiak. And I know that we have close relationships with families. We have a rich cultural, culinary, musical, religious, and holiday traditions that are passed, again, among families that we share now with our new families, our new community here. And so I think that's, again, I hope to hear that, and I think I will be asking that question to many of our members in our community, how important that means to them, especially here in Kodiak,
right,
because I would like to hear from them.
Yeah. And you know, we know that we use the term Hispanic heritage, but we know that Hispanic heritage is not, you know, it's not a monolith. You know, there are many, many different cultures within that with different traditions. And and so, but keeping that in mind, you know, what do you see? And kind of putting you on the spot here as a representative of ALMA, but you're kind of integrated in a way that maybe you understand what are some of the issues facing the Hispanic community in Kodiak, but also, you know, women who are Hispanic. What are some of the issues and challenges that they're facing?
That, again, I think it's it will be important to ask more than just me.
Right.
And I was trying to think about, in general, what I have experienced and what I've seen. I haven't been connected to the Hispanic community as much as I want to and as much as we did as ALMA, and that's why my mm-hmm. interest to get back into our community, you know, build that relationship again is so important. That I think in general, it is a good question, and I will definitely be asking more people about it, but maybe perhaps another show.
that yes.
Many face different challenges in this community, and depending, I think it has to do with language and the background. The language barrier is one of them. The background, skills or education that they may or may not have, that could be a challenge for them facing here in this community. I mean, job opportunities can be limited with those barriers that they mm-hmm. have. Many narrow to the Canaries, which is great work for many who definitely have that. The income is limited, so the options to progress and do more things is also limited, so they struggle. You know, sometimes they've been forced or have to make that hard decision to raise their children thinking they have to work as soon as they are in that age instead of continuing education, instead of progressing, instead of getting more to better their future, even, you know, better. It's definitely a hard decision that mm-hmm. it has passed even to the new generations here. So, again, the language barrier is kind of present. Also, we've seen that there was an influx of immigrants seeking asylum in the
80s. Asylum.
Asylum, mm-hmm. thank you, in the 80s and the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Many of them were running from their countries
right.
and because of their safety. And
I think El Salvador was
exactly,
was a big one. Yeah.
Yes. And many of them are still here in our town, and they didn't have any education. So to them, up to this day, it still is a barrier for them. It's a big one. Having not much of the history and support themselves is hard for them to integrate with their new generations. So I think it's important for us as we learn and get more opportunities to support those in any way we can so their children be able to better themselves as they help their parents. Instead of just kind of providing immediately right after school or high school to just get to work, and that's the only means they can help. You know, there's definitely more to that.
So we only have about 1 minute left. So what I really want to get to, but what I want to get to before we leave is, ALMA has a summer youth internship. They have scholarships. So how can people support ALMA?
Okay, that is a great question. I mean, I was thinking about a lot of things, and I want to say that participation from our community will be the biggest thing. We are a nonprofit organization, so if people are interested, they can donate. We will make that worth everything. We will expand it, and we will be able to put it towards good programs for our Hispanic and Latino that eventually will return around into better our community as well. We're hoping to have more members. That way we can have eventually more participating and getting into the community. So I will hope to see that continued support from our community in general mm-hmm. will be great and increasing the number of members. So there's definitely talented people with skills, and they can volunteer and do many things. And one thing I see in progress that people can do in our community too is that myself included and many I experience have people in town from here who were like mentors to us, and we have grown so much and do so much better that they actually created a domino effect where mm-hmm. they supported us, and it's just not us. It just moved on to our families and our siblings, and so it's expanded. So if we have more members in our community that have the kind and the heart and the time, not necessarily financially, but that time, to provide that assistance and advocating for them and being there for them, I think that we can make progress on improving people's life.
Very well said. So,
okay.
Thank you, Nancy. So, National Hispanic Heritage Month, September 15th through October 15th, reach out to Alma. And when I post this on the web, we'll put some contact information for Alma if you want to reach out and support some of the great work and this fantastic Hispanic community that we have, and also these fantastic women that we have who are mentoring others. And so thank you so much. What a great story, Nancy. I really appreciated you coming by.
Thank you so much for having us and for giving us the opportunity.